Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shabbos, daf Kuf Vav. We're on Kuf Hey Amud Beis, and we are somewhere in the middle of the Amud, and we're talking now, a Kari Bechamaso, tearing out of anger, or Al Meso, tearing because a person has a mace that died. So what did we learn? We learned in the Mishnah that in both of these cases you're going to be Pater. Why? Because it's Kilkul. Because it's a destructive act, and you're not Chayav on Shabbos for doing a destructive act. And Malacha, by its very definition, has to be something constructive, or even something which is destructive by nature. Like Korea, it has to be Korea Amanas Litvor. It has to be some sort of constructive goal in mind. So if you're tearing, and you're just tearing because you're angry, you're tearing because there's a mace, so the Mishnah says you're going to be Pater. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. And then the problem with that is a Braisa. The Braisa says, Akore Bechamaso Ve'evlo Val Meso Chayev. The Braisa says that if you tear on Shabbos, either because you're angry or because you're doing so for the mitzvah of Korea, so you're going to be Chayev. So obviously there's a discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So yesterday we attacked both of these stiras one at a time. The first stira that we attacked was Hakore Bechamaso, tearing when you're angry. So the Gemara said, other way around. The first way the Gemara did yesterday was resolving the discrepancy between Korea Meso of the Mishnah and Korea Meso of the Braisa. And basically the discrepancy was basically explained like this, that if there's an obligation for you to do Kriya, and we gave four different examples of where there would be an obligation for you to do Kriya, either number one, it's a relative, number two, it's a Tam Chacham, number three, it's an Adam Kasher, number four, you were there for Yitzias Neshama, which means that he's none of the above. He's not a relative, not a Tam Chacham, nor an Adam Kasher. So in all those scenarios, because there's an obligation for you to do Kriya, so there Kriya is constructive. It's constructive because you're doing the mitzvah of Kriya. That's the Braisa that says that HaKorei HaMeso, you're going to be Chayav. The Mishnah, on the other hand, who says HaKorei HaMeso, you're going to be Pater, that's talking about where it's none of the above. It's not a relative, it's not a Tamal Chacham, it's not an Adam Kasher, you weren't there for Yitzias Neshama, and therefore you're going to be Pater because it's just simply a destructive act. That is step one of the Gemara. Step two of the Gemara, okay, that only helps us with one stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. What about the second stira of the Mishnah and the Braisa? And two was pretty much where we got up to yesterday. So let's go back inside now. We're in the middle of the Amud. El Chamaso, Chamaso Kasha. Right? It is about halfway down the page. The first words in the line of the Gemara is Ella. It's pretty much where we left off yesterday. The Gemara continues. How are you going to resolve the Brice and the Mishnah about tearing out of anger? Chamaso Kasha, Chamaso, Chamaso Namelo Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, it's the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Ha Rabbi Yehuda dama malacha shein tzricha legufa chayav aleha. Ha Rabbi Shimon dama malacha shein tzricha legufa pater aleha. So the Gemara says that the whole debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, as we've seen time and again, is malacha shein tzricha legufa. Where, let's just go with Rashi's explanation, meaning Tosfos has his own explanation, but Rashi's explanation, malacha shein tzricha legufa, means is that I'm doing something for a constructive nature. If I'm doing something for a constructive nature, it has to be that the primary purpose of what I'm doing is constructive. Here, Rabbi Shimon would say malacha shein tzricha legufa as pater. So because of that, so that would be the Mishnah. The Mishnah would be going like Rabbi Shimon, as opposed to the second half of as opposed to the Braisa that says malacha shein tzricha legufa is going to be chayev. That's Rabbi Yehuda. So when I'm tearing out of anger, so yeah, it'll swage me a little bit. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayev on a malacha shein tzricha legufa. So the Gemara now is suggesting that the machlokes between the Mishnah and the Braisa is really just a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on the issue of malacha shein tzricha legufa. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Amen d'shamalei l'Rabbi Yehuda m'masakim m'makalkom m'mishamalei. So the Gemara says, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda is more stringent when it comes to malacha shein tzricha legufa, and he finds the person to be chayev. But over here, you also have to take into consideration, yes, tearing is a malacha shein tzricha legufa, but tearing is also a destructive act. And as we're going to learn in today's daf kuf vav, meaning later on this morning, Rabbi Yehuda is poter on a destructive act. So why should you be chayev if in fact it's a destructive act? So the Gemara says it's not a destructive act, it's a constructive act. Because you're assuaging yourself, because you were angry, now you're not as angry. So therefore you're going to be, we're not going to categorize it as a totally destructive act. In fact, we'll look at it for its constructive nature. It's calming the person down. It's removing some of the anger from the person. And so consequently, it then comes just to the question of a malacha shein tzricha legufa, where Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chayef. Okay. The Gemara says, now we condone such an action, meaning obviously you're not allowed to tear on Shabbos. That's a given. Meaning, constructive, destructive, meaning even if it's not a malacha, it's still asr. So you can't do it on Shabbos. But the Gemara now wants to know, are we condoning this type of action in general? Meaning, are you allowed to, you're really angry. So can you have a fit of anger, and that way you can get rid of your anger, you're going to have some sort of cathartic event, and get rid of your anger? The Gemara says, as he said, it's not right. The Gemara says, this is the methodology of the Yetzirah. If you have an anger, a fit of anger, and in your fit of anger, you tear your clothing, you tear up money, you throw money into the street, meaning you do all these things in a fit of anger. The Gemara says that's basically just a couple steps removed from being Oved Avodah Zarah. Hayom amor la'aseh l'kach l'machra m'aseh l'kach ad sh'amalach avor Avodah Zarah v'holech v'oved. And then once the Yetzer Hara basically has his grips on you, once you have these fits of anger, so the next thing you know, you're going to be Oved Avodah Zarah. And this is the method of the Yetzer Hara. So the Gemara is basically saying, so how can we deem it to be constructive act? It's really not a constructive act. It's the kind of behavior which is really not condoned under any circumstance. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes a pasuk that also speaks to this idea as well. Lo yebcha el zar velo sishachavela el necharezu el zar sheish begufa shaladam. What's the el zar? Meaning, what's the foreign god that you have within you? Have the omer is a yetzara. That's a reference to the yetzara. Lo tzricha. So the Gemara says, you're right, absolutely right. Meaning, if you're really angry and you're having a fit of anger, that is never to be condoned. The Gemara says unequivocally, not on Shabbos, not during the week. Any type of fit of anger is totally prohibited. Meaning not, let's not say usher in the classic sense of usher, but usher in the classic sense of midos, meaning in terms of it's just bad midos, to have a fit of anger. And any time a person has a fit of anger, it's just basically going to result in one step closer to being a Oved Avodah Zarah. However, what we are condoning over here is not having a real fit of anger, but a demonstrative fit of anger, meaning basically showing that you're angry, but you're not really angry. It's controlled anger, if you will. The Gemara gives an example. Gemara gives a number of examples of what this means, controlled anger. You basically want people in your house to be somewhat intimidated by you. Rav Yehuda would tear clothing in order to demonstrate his anger, but he wasn't really angry. It was just a demonstration of his anger. Rav Acher bar Yaakov tavar mani tavire. Rav Acher bar Yaakov, he would break broken shards of pottery. It's interesting. He doesn't say that he would break pottery. In other words, it would have to first be broken, and then he would break it more. Bal Tashchis is maybe the issue. Rav Sheshes Rami La Laamte Munina Areshe. Yeah, this one's strange. Rav Sheshes would throw fish brine on the head of his maidservant. Okay, so I guess she will not be serving the fish brine again. Rabbi Abba Tavar Nachamta. Rabbi Abba would break the lid of a jar. Okay? So in other words, all these things, this is, by the way, this is okay. these types of behaviors are okay. No, but the larger point of the Gemara is that if it's just for demonstrative purposes, meaning you want people to know that you're serious, you're not really angry. In other words, somewhere in the fit you wink a little bit. so that's fine. And maybe what we're describing over here in our person who's tearing his clothing on Shabbos, is that he's tearing his clothing on Shabbos not because he's really angry, but just simply demonstrating anger. The Gemara goes back now to eulogizing and mourning the death of an Adam Kasher. In other words, we basically had three different levels. We had a Talmud Chacham, we had an Adam Kasher, and we had a person who is neither one or the other. Now, what's the difference between a Talmud Chacham and an Adam Kasher? I venture to guess, but this is just me guessing, that a Talmud Chacham, someone who's proficient and knowledgeable in all of Torah. And an Adam Kasher just simply means an upstanding person, meaning a person who's Shomer Torah, Shomer Mitzvos. And, okay, in other words, and the Gemara says it's critical that you really mourn over the death of an Adam Kasher. In other words, in your mind, which you shouldn't say is, okay, he's a, you know, a good guy, but it's not a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says, no. In other words, for an Adam Kasher, you need to mourn. In fact, Kadosh Baruch Hu collects the tears that you cry over an Adam Kasher. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts the tears in his Beis Genazav, in his storehouse, and the Gemara says it's extraordinarily important. Shenema, the Pasuk in Tehillim, speaks to this idea as well. Nodi safarta ata sima dimati benoatcha halo b'safra secha. The Pasuk in Tehillim speaks to this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a node, he has some sort of jar, where he takes the demos and he places the demos into the jar. A person who is lazy and does not give proper eulogy to a Talmud Chacham, so for him, mida keneged mida, measure for measure, and he will be buried alive. It sounds extraordinarily harsh. Maybe I'm not saying the Gemara correctly. Maybe it's not.
Is it a euphemism?
It could be.
Yes, it is.
Right. Fit to be buried alive. Shenemar vayikburu so bigvul nachlaso b'timnas racha sher b'har Ephraim mitzafon lahar naash malamit shegraga shalem har lahar gan. Meaning the mountain kind of quivered. The mountain shook in terms of killing him. A person who is lazy and does not give proper eulogy to a Talmud Chacham, he himself will not have long days. Mida keneged mida, it's measure. Shenemar, b'sasa b'shalcha terivena. Sasa is the idea of measure for measure. Because you didn't properly eulogize a Talmud Chacham, so you yourself also will have a lack of arichus yamin. Eitzer Rabbi Chia Bar Avin LeRabbi Yochanan VeYavdu Ames Hashem Kol Yimei Yoshua VeKol Yimei Hazakenim Asher Arichu Yamim Acharei Yoshua. So he quotes a pasuk from Sefer Yoshua. So the Gemara says Amalei Bavla Yamim Arichu Shanim Lo Arichu. So there, yes, the days were lengthened, but not the years. The years weren't lengthened. Elameata Laman Yerbu Yimeichem Yimevenechem Yamim Velo Shanim. So the Gemara says, okay, but it sounds like from the Pesukim in Kriya Shema that if you put on talis and not talis, if you put on tefillin and mezuzah and learn Torah, Laman Yerichem Echal Al Hadama. In other words, you're going to have long days. And the understanding over there is it's not just long days, but it's long years as well. So bracha shani, the Gemara says, okay, but that's different. That's a bracha. Meaning by a bracha could be given even though it may not actually come to pass, but in other words, but that's a bracha. But in terms of a person who is not give the proper eulogy for Talmud Chacham, so the Gemara says he's going to be stripped of his long years. And the Gemara ends the discussion over here with the following. The Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yochanan, that if one of the brothers dies, Yidagu kol ha'achin kulan, all other brothers need to worry, be concerned. Meaning, as Rashi points out, Yerum in a Misa, to be afraid of death. Meaning, Malcham Avis is here. So you need to be afraid. And it's not just true with a family, it's true with a particular group. In other words, if there is a group, a social group, grouping, and one of the members of the group dies, so the whole group should be afraid. Now, when do you really need to worry? So the Gemara says it's actually two opinions here. Some say that if the Malcham Avis takes the Gadol, so then you really need to worry, as Rashi points out, because if the Malach Hamavis has Shlita over the greatest one of the group, so for sure the Malcham Avis can have Shlita over everyone else in the group. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility, explains Rashi, is that if the... Literally, it doesn't mean the smallest one. It means the one in the group who is not the greatest of them, just the opposite. He's the smallest of them, so to say. So if he dies, the whole group needs to worry. Why? So Rashi goes on to explain, Shebekalkala matchalim in a katan. Because as a general rule, destruction starts with the small and works its way up. So either way, in other words, really you could say it either way. Okay, and that ends our discussion in terms of tearing. So where do we end up on the whole discussion? So we have a Mishnah, we have a Braisa. The Mishnah says that if I tear on Shabbos, either because I'm angry or because of a mace, so you'd be Pater. The Braisa says you're going to be Chayev. And our resolution between the Mishnah and the Braisa is it depends. When it's talking about tearing out of anger, so the Machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa is just simply a Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa is going to be Chayev, that's the Braisa. The Mishnah that says the Mishnah says that you're Pater, that's Rabbi Shimon, because he also Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa is going to be Pater, and so therefore that's the Mishnah. In terms of tearing for a mace, so that the Gemara says it depends. If you're doing so because you have a relative or a Talmud Chacham or an Adam Kasher, or you were there for Yitzias Neshama, so then you're doing what is a constructive act. And that's the Braisa that says that you're Chayv. The Mishnah, on the other hand, says, no, you're not going to be Chayv, you're going to be Pater. Why? Because there was no point in you doing so, it was just simply a destructive act, and so therefore you're going to be Pater. Okay, Akan, that is the end of the entire discussion. I mentioned yesterday, briefly, and I'll just mention again today, a very basic question that's asked by the Gemara Yerushalmi. And that is the following. It comes out now that if I tear on Shabbos, what did we learn yesterday's daf? Right, somewhere up on the top of Kuf Hamad Beis. So he says that if you tear on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv, meaning you did a malacha of tearing on Shabbos, but the kriya that you did was a good kriya, meaning you don't have to do kriya again after Shabbos. Okay, the kriya worked. And the question we asked yesterday was, and this is a Yerushalmi's question, well, why should the kriya work? Meaning, isn't this your classic case of mitzvah haba ba'avera? And we said that by mitzvah haba ba'avera, it's not going to work. In fact, the Gemara in Sukkos says from the third perek that if I steal a lulav on and I use it for Sukkos, so it's not going to work. Why? Because it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. It's a mitzvah that comes about through an avera. So over here, why isn't this also an example of mitzvah haba ba'avera? That's the Yerushalmi's question. That the Yerushalmi does give an answer, but it's not particularly clear what the Yerushalmi means by its answer. So there are two places to go to, more than two places, but there are two places in which I will turn you to in terms of understanding what the Yerushalmi means in terms of its answer. The Tosfos in Sukkah quotes this Yerushalmi, and Tosfos in Sukkah says that it's only when the Avera that you are doing makes the mitzvah possible. Meaning only then is the mitzvah haba be'avera. But, in other words, if I could have done the mitzvah with circumventing the Avera, so then that's not mitzvah haba be'avera. So when I'm stealing the lulav and I'm using the lulav, so the stealing, the act of stealing enabled me to fulfill the mitzvah of netilas lulav on Sukkos. So there, that's mitzvah haba be'avera. But tearing, in other words, did I need to tear on Shabbos? No, I didn't need to tear on Shabbos. I could have teared on Sunday. I could have teared on Friday. It happens to be that I teared on Shabbos, but that's not mitzvah haba be'avera. Mitzvah haba be'avera is that the avera enabled the mitzvah. Here, not necessarily. The Aver didn't enable the mitzvah. That is, that's one answer. That is Tosfos in Sukkah and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Another possibility, which he quotes over here, the Beis Yosef. So Beis Yosef also is bothered by this question, also quotes the Yerushalmi, also attempts to give a pshat in the Yerushalmi, and he says, look, mitzvah haba be'avera is that if I have the Avera item, so then I cannot use the Avera item. Meaning, I steal a lulav. So now what do I have in my hand? I've stolen goods. So that's where we say mitzvah haba be'aver, when you actually have an item in your hand that symbolizes the avera. However, when I'm tearing, there's no item. Meaning, the mitzvah is to tear. I guess you could argue that the garment you're wearing now is a mitzvah item, but that's not really the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the act of kriya, the act of tearing. So that's the Beis Yosef's explanation of what the Yerushalmi means, why this isn't the case of mitzvah haba be'avera. And that's just two ways of understanding the Yerushalmi. There are more ways to understand it as well. Okay, Adkan, we are now continuing. We're on the top of Kuvav Amud Aleph. Now, from here until the Mishnah, it's only a little bit of Gemara. Right, we just covered a lot of Gemara. But right now, we have a little bit of Gemara. This is complicated. This Gemara coming up right now is complex. I'm warning you. And we'll try. We'll try to get our head around it. We learned in our Mishnah that Kol Mekalkalin is Peturin. Meaning anytime you do an act on Shabbos and it's a destructive act, so it's Pater. You're going to be exempt from Chil Shabbos because Chil Shabbos by definition has to be a constructive act. And our Mishnah says it very clearly, meaning our Mishnah says, Kol HaMekalkalin Paturin. Without exception, every act of Kilkel is going to be one which you're going to be Pater. In order for a Malacha to be a Malacha that engenders a Chiyuv Chatos or even worse, if you do a b'mezid, that's only when it's constructive act by its very nature. So far, so good. And let's start our Gemara. V'chol ha'makalkalin paturim. Tani Rabbi Abba kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. So, Rabbi Abba teaches a braisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Kol ha'makalkalin paturim. So far, so good. The braisa says just what our Mishnah says. Chutz mi'chovel mavir, with exception to the malacha of chovel and the malacha of mavir. Chovel, when I hurt somebody, right, I cause bleeding on a person. your chovel a person on Shabbos, you're going to be chayev on Malacha Shabbos. Okay, Netilas Neshama. Let's call it Netilas Neshama. or whatever. It could go, it categorically can go in a couple of places. But for our purposes, so that's called Ntilas Neshama, or, says Rabbi Abahu, according to the Braisa, or Mavir, burning. Burning on Shabbos also is going to be a destructive act, which is going to warrant and elicit a chiyuv chatas. Okay? So Rabbi Abahu quotes a Braisa, and this Braisa says that there are two exceptions to the rule. The exception of Chovel and the exception of Mavir. And Rashi quotes Gemara in Baba Kama, where we know that if you're Chovel on Shabbos, and if you do Havar on Shabbos, you're going to be Chayev. Okay, because of cases of Kimle B'derabimine, it's over there in the 7th parak of Baba Kama. But right now, just for our purposes, just know the Braisa and know the two exceptions. So, Amar Leh, so Rabbi Yochanan is hearing the Braisa, and he doesn't want to accept the Braisa. Poke Tani Labra. You know where you can take the Braisa, says Rav Yochanan? Take it outside. Meaning, I don't want that Braisa here in the Beis Medrash. It doesn't belong here in the Beis Medrash. It's not valid. It's not accurate. It's not right. Now, why not? So, Amalei, Poke Tani Labra, Chovel Mavir, in a Mishnah. It's not the corpus of Mishnah. V'im Tamalama Mishnah. Now, even if you're going to twist my arm, says Rav Yochanan, sorry, and if you're going to make me think that really this is a legitimate and bona fide braisa, so I'll say the following: chova b'tzarch lekabo, mavi b'tzarch leafro. That I'm doing chavala right now. In other words, I'm wounding an animal, and I'm extracting the blood of the animal because my dog needs blood right now. Okay, I took my dog to the vet. Dog's not doing well, and the vet said, "Okay, here's my prescription. Okay, feed it blood." Okay, I don't know, in modern veterinary practices, I don't know if this goes, but okay, that was the doctor's instructions. The veterinarian said, feed it blood. So what do? So you basically go to another animal, puncture the animal, wound the animal, extract blood because you want the blood for your dog. So you're doing chovel, you're doing chavala, but for the constructive purposes of getting blood for your dog. Or, alternatively, mavir, b'tzarch lafra, you need ashes right now. For whatever reason, who knows why, but you need ashes right now. So how am I going to get ashes? You get ashes by burning. So I'm burning now in Shabbos because I need the ashes. The Rav Yochanan says, I'll accept the Braisa, your Braisa that you just quoted, under those circumstances. But in general, if what you're doing is just simply a destructive act, that's not going to be a malacha. Good. That is Rav Yochanan's response to the Braisa. The Hanantanan Kol Mekachlin Peturin. So the Gemara says, now, here's the problem. The problem is like this. Either you go with Rabbi Abba's pshat of the Braisa, or you go with Rabbi Yochanan's pshat of the Braisa. Either way, it is difficult because it does not go in sync with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Kol HaMikakel and Peturin, without any exception whatsoever. So what is this Braisa doing, giving out examples of Chovel and Mavir as exceptions to the rule? There shouldn't be exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara explains like this. Masnis and Rabbi Yehuda, Braisa Rabbi Shimon. So our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and our Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon. Meaning that there is a general machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about Mekalkel B'Shabbos, where Rabbi Yehuda comes out to be a Mekel, that Mekalkel on Shabbos is going to be Pater, and Rabbi Shimon says that Mekalkel on Shabbos is going to be Chayev, meaning he's a Machmir on Mekalkel B'Shabbos. Now, where do we know? How do we know that the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue about Kilkel on Shabbos? So Rashi points out over here. I don't know. Rashi says, I'm not particularly sure where the primary source of this machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is regarding Kilkel on Shabbos. But our Gemara tells us that there is a machlokus. So, assuming that our Gemara knows what it's talking about, so Rashi says we're going to go with our Gemara, which is that Rabbi Shimon is a machmir, and he says that Kilkel on Shabbos is going to be chayev, and that's Rabbi Shimon now going like the Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda says that it's pater. So our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Now there are a couple things to go over at this point in time in the Gemara. So first of all, as I already mentioned, Rashi himself is at a loss in terms of where we actually see the machlokus. Where's the primary source of this machlokus that the Gemara here is alluding to? So that's one issue, which is obviously a very serious issue. And the other issue, which Tosus himself raises, is the following. If you remember the beginning of this morning's shiur, how do we understand our Mishnah? At least the first part of our Mishnah, HaKorea B'Chamaso V'Almeiso. How did the Gemara explain that line of the Mishnah? That line of the Mishnah was Rabbi Shimon, meaning that if you tear because you're angry, you're going to be pater. Why? Because it's a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, and our Mishnah is going like Rabbi And our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. So it's a little bit strange that the first part of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, and now the second half of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Huda. Okay, but Rashi also notes that as well, and what are you going to say other than that's just the reality? The first part of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, and the second part is going like Rabbi Huda. Okay, so those are two points to consider over here. And there's a third point to consider as well, and that's the following. How did we know that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Huda, and how do we know that the Brice is going like Rabbi Shimon? Meaning, okay, so we don't know where the source of this machlokus is, but even if there is a machlokus, what evidence can tell us that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda and the Brisa is Rabbi Shimon? So Rashi explains as follows. Now I'm reading Rashi, Masis and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, and you could follow with me inside. Rashi now was going to try to explain how we know this. The Islam Makalka Bachabura Pater of Yehuda says that if you do something destructive on Shabbos, it's going to be Pater of Elohim's Parashecha. And Rashi himself explains that we don't know where this comes from, this machlokus. And now look, I know that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda because our Mishnah says Malacha Shein Srich L'Gufa Yerchayev. Hilka Chiyuva Dechovel Bitsarich L'Kabo Umavir Bitsarich La'afra Mishkachala De Afa Pide Makalkohu. Now, it's true you are destroying. Meaning, what am I doing? I'm reducing something to ashes. I'm hitting a dog so that blood will leave the dog. Or not the dog. Or whatever. I'm hitting an animal so that blood will leave the animal. In other words, either way, the act in of itself is a destructive act. The mekakel eitz malach atzma misakinu eitz al acherim ule Rabbi Yehuda ki agavna malachahu. Now, is the act a malacha? According to Rabbi Yehuda, sure it is, because Rabbi Yehuda holds a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is going to be chayev. So even though my primary purpose or my primary goal is to burn, my primary goal is to wound the animal, but I have a secondary goal as well, which is to extract blood or to reduce something to ashes. This is a classic example of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So in other words, on the front of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, we have to be holding like Rabbi Yehuda, otherwise you don't yield in the conclusion of Chiyuv. Mishum tikun achirim, ava mekalkal veinu masakin patav afag av dereish demasnisen ukim tikun Rabbi Shimon. And this is Rashi just simply telling us that, well, the first part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, the second part is Rabbi Yehuda, but I already went over that. That's just simply, that is what it is, meaning we'll just have to live with that. So in other words, basically now it's as follows. It comes, the way Rashi understands our Gemara, our Mishnah has to be going like Rabbi Yehuda, because basically the way you have to view the act is, it's basically Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, meaning I am reducing something to ashes, but I want the ashes. I'm wounding an animal, but I want the blood. Meaning, so this is a classic example of Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa. So on the front of Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, so we're going to go like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're chayav, so how come our Mishnah says that for a person who does so, he's going to be pater? Because now Rashi says that's Rabbi Yehuda, who also holds that kilkel is going to be pater. Okay, I hope I was clear about that. And that is the tricky part of this particular daf, meaning that you basically have to look here at basically two intersecting phenomena. One is Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, and the other one is that of Kilkel. So on the front of Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, we're going to assume like Rabbi Yehuda that you're going to be Chayiv, at least on Mishnah. On the front of Kilkel, Rabbi Yehuda says that you're going to be Pater. And that's our Mishnah. The Braisa that was quoted by Rabbi Abahu, that says, Chovel Amavir, you're going to be Chayiv. So that Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon holds, Kilkel, you're going to be Chayiv.
But why is
that
this case
as Pesik Reisha? Huh? It is Pesik Reisha. But instead of using the terminology of Pesik Reisha, we're going to use the terminology of Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, because really that's what it is. Meaning, like the example of, I digging a hole in the ground because I want the dirt. You could say it's a Pesik Reisha. But just for our purposes, just framing it so that you understand that this is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, so we'll put it under the category of Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa. Yeah.
Is it possible to say that Kilkel is a malacha because they had demolition of the Mishkan and the Tzrich?
Yeah, but any demolition that they do is only for to put it back together again later. So in other words, it's built in that I'm taking it apart in order to put it back together again. Okay? And that is our Gemara over here. Let's just finish up the Gemara now. B'tzarech l'kabo, mavi b'tzarech l'avro, v'anon ten kol mekachem v'tur, masisim Rabbi Yehuda, b'raisa Rabbi Shimon. My time with the Rabbi Shimon. Now, what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon? Why is it that Rabbi Shimon is arguing that if I do an act of kilkel on Shabbos, so Rabbi Shimon says, you're going to be potter. How do I know that? So, midistra krala mishrei mila, so hachova ba'amachayev, because look, what does the Torah allow me to do? The Torah gives a license to do a milah on Shabbos. Now, milah is a destructive act, right? You're tearing off skin. Now, I know you can make the argument that there's also a mitzvah, and a menasa sakin, and okay, you can make all those arguments. Those are all very nice arguments. When all said and done, it's a destructive act. You're tearing off skin. You're doing excision of the body. So, the Torah goes out of its way, and the Torah says, I grant you license that you can do milah on Shabbos. Well, the only reason that the Torah can give a heter is only for starting off with the presumption that it's prohibited. And it's not just a prohibited action, but a malacha. And the Torah has to go out of its way to give a heter. So that is one example, says Rabbi Shimon, that I know that kilkel on Shabbos is going to be chayiv, and that's the example of chovel. Now, what about the example of mavir? How do I know that mavir and Shabbos are going to be chayiv? Well, now you know that if you have a bas kohen, the Torah tells us that a bas kohen who's mezaneh, who commits adultery, so a regular mezaneh, not a bas kohen, so how is she put to death? Through skila. Bas kohen, however, I'm wrong. Chenek, thank you. Thank you. Okay, a regular Noe is put to death through chenek, but a bas kohen, however, is put to death through sreifa, through burning. Now, granted, sreifa in this case means pouring hot lead down her throat, but in other words, but it's still burning nevertheless, meaning you have to heat the lead, and it's savara, we're going to call it burning. So the Torah says that I can't burn the bas kohen on Shabbos. A special gezeiras akasov, that burning the bas kohen on Shabbos is going to be a malach, and therefore you can't do it on Shabbos. So if you have a woman who's a bas kohen who was condemned, and the Beis Din just came out with its ruling right before Shabbos, so normally we don't like to, there's no stay of execution. We're not big believers of that. I know in this country they are big believers in that. They love that here in this country. But in other words, once a person's condemned to death, so then you put him to death right away. But if it's Shabbos, you can't do it on Shabbos. It's special gzeiras hakatzah that you can't do it on Shabbos. So Rabbi Shimon says, so what do you see? So you see, that's a malacha. Because the Torah says he can't do it. So Rabbi Yehuda, so now what's Rabbi Yehuda going to argue on both of these points? Rabbi Yehuda, ha'asam istakinu, kid ravashi, dam ravashi, malu l'takin mila, malu l'takin kli, malu l'vashal psila, malu l'vashal simanim. So Rabbi Shimon will argue, Rabbi Yehuda will argue, no, that's tikkun. Meaning that's considered tikkun. What difference does it make if we're talking about fixing the mila or fixing the kli? What difference does it make? Bishul hapsila or bishul hasamanim? In other words, it's bishul nevertheless. So Rabbi Huda argues with these two proofs of Rabbi Shimon, and basically now what we have in our Gemara is a basic machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon about mekalkel. Rabbi Huda is a makel when it comes to mekalkel, where he holds that mekalkel on Shabbos is going to be pater, even on the examples of chovel and on mavir. And Rabbi Shimon says no, that mekalkel on Shabbos is going to be chayiv, specifically on the examples of chovel and mavir. Comes out a little bit strange, meaning that on all of our machlokes, we have now three basic machlokes in between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, vis-a-vis hilchos Shabbos. We have davar shein miskaven, we have malach shein tzricha l'gufa, and we have mekalkel. So it's not totally... it's not totally consistent. On Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa and on Davashen Miskaven, Rabbi Shimon comes out to be the Mekel, Rabbi Yehuda comes out to be the Machmir. On Mekalkel, Rabbi Shimon comes out to be the Machmir, and Rabbi Yehuda comes out to be the Mekel. So, just, it's an observation. It's not a question. Okay, right. Maybe you can argue that if it's a real Mekalkel, so then... Correct. Agreed. Okay, and one last thing before we finish up, Shir Hamalabain, Rav Yosef Machve Kafel, Rav Chia Barave Machve Pashut. In other words, our Mishnah says that if I were to comb or to weave or to spin thread, so you're going to be chayav on Shabbos. How much? So our Mishnah says gave shirim which we're really not familiar with. Sit kafel and kamalo hasit. What is that? So basically, the Gemara says kamalo hasit is basically the spreading out of your two fingers like that. And sit kafel is when I take my thumb and my finger and I spread out like that. So that is sit kafel. That's, and the Amoraim were just demonstrating that by basically spreading out their fingers. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Atzad, Tzipor LaMigdal V'Tzvila Bayis Chayev. We are now up to the next Mishnah, and the next Mishnah is up to Seida. Okay? In terms of order, I mentioned this already before. We kind of understand the order right now because we're working our way backwards. Meaning, if you look at the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel, so you'll notice the Malachas on Shabbos, and we did the Malacha of Hotzah, that was number 39. And now we're basically working our way backwards. We did Bona, right? Bona was the 12th parak of Shabbos. We did a little bit of a jump. We went back to Oreg and Topher. But now we're going to go to the Malachas of Seda, of hunting and trapping, which is the one right prior to Bona. Right? Hatzat Tzvi, Yashokta, Mafshita, Hamolcha, Ma'avid, Esaro, HaMemachka, Mechatcha. Okay, I'm sorry, it's the one right before Kosev. Okay, very good. So now our Mishnah talks about hunting and trapping. Rav Yehuda Omer, Hatzat Tzipor LaMigdal. If I take a bird and I coral the bird into a migdal, some sort of tower, right, some sort of bird cage, utzvi labais, or if I take a deer and I corral the deer into the house, you're going to be chayev. That is the act of trapping, and once I do it, so you're going to be chayev. The chachamim omrim tzipa lamigdal utzvi. Legina ulechatzer ulebivrim chayev. Now the chachamim disagree and they say no. That if I take the bird and I move the bird into a migdal, so you're right, I'm going to be chayev, much like what Rabbi Yehuda said. But in terms of the deer, even if I corral the deer into a garden or into a chatzer or into a beaver, now these are all different types of pens. They have walls around it, so obviously once you corral it into this area, it can't escape anymore. But in other words, it doesn't actually have to be going into your house. It's enough. If you corral it into one of these pens, you're going to be chayv. And then there's what seems to be a third opinion in the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, lo kol abir from Shavim, ze'akla mechusr tzeder, patr shenim mechusr tzeder chayv. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, look, it's not all the same. Meaning that if I corral into an area, and for me to go get it, I need more corralling. We'll explain what that means a little bit later on this morning. I need more corralling, so then you're going to be patr. Meaning that's not the Malach of Seder. The Malach of Seder is where I corral into such a confined area that I got it. Meaning I no longer have to go run and chase it anymore. So that is, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, really it's going to be kind of subjective in nature. Meaning basically, until I corral into such a way where I've confined it and I no longer need to run after it. Tanan Hasam and... Okay, so Gemara is going to ask that question. It's the right question. Okay, and with this now we start with the Gemara. The Gemara here quotes Mishnayos from Masechta Beitza. The Mishnah says, "Tanan Hasam Einsadim Dagim and Abivrim Biyamto Veinos and Lefdeim Bezonos." You cannot on Yontif neither trap fish. Now on Yontif we know you're allowed to cook. And not only are you allowed to cook on Yontif, but you can even shech the animal on Yontif. Now we're talking about fish right now. Fish don't require shechita. Right, there is no shechita by fish. Just simply get it out of the water, and that's it. That's called dinner. There's no requirement to shechita. It must be dead, right? To eat a live fish is a prohibition of Baal Teshaktsu. That's disgusting. But in other words, there's no shechita requirement. But although you're not allowed, sorry, although you are allowed to cook and to shecht on Yontif, you can't trap on Yontif. Meaning, food preparation on Yontif is limited. What are the malachas that's limited to? So basically, there are four malachas that you're allowed to do on Yontif. Tosfos in the beginning of the Masechta over there. I don't remember the daf. Daf Gimel, I think. Good. I'm happy that you agree. It means I'm right. So Tosfos over there tries to draw a line in the sand in terms of why some malachas are mutar on Yontif and some are not. The basic idea is, says Tosfos, that malachas that I could have done before Yontif, so then that you cannot do on Yontif, but any malacha that I couldn't do beforehand. Meaning you can shecht before Yontif, but then the meat's not fresh. Meaning you want fresh meat, you're going to have to shecht on Yontif. So, okay. Again, that's a Beitza discussion. That's a Tosfos discussion over there. In the meantime, however, on Yontif you cannot trap fish. Okay, no fishing on Yontif. So, Enos and Lefnei Mezonos, and also you can't feed them as well. Now, are these two points connected or are they disconnected? So I encourage you, take a look at Tosfos over here, where Tosfos has a very lengthy discussion in terms of whether these two points are connected or not. In general, you know, you're allowed to feed animals on Shabbos and Yom Tov if they rely on you, if they need you, meaning they're domesticated animals. But if they're not domesticated animals, you cannot feed them on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov. So over here, the fish and the fishing and the not feeding them, are these two points connected or not? So again, take a look at Tosfos, who has a long discussion, but for our purposes right now, we're going to move on. Aval tzadin chaya v'of v'nosnin lifnehem mizonos. But says the Mishnah in Beitza, you're allowed to trap chaya and of, and you're allowed to feed them on yantiv. U'riminu. Okay, so far so good. That's one Mishnah in the Masechta in Beitza. And then the Gemara quotes another Mishnah, and then another Mishnah or Brisa says that you're not allowed to trap animals on Yontav, and you're not allowed to trap birds on Yontav. So kasha chaya, chaya kasha ofas ofas. Obviously the problem is self-evident. Meaning one Brisa says you're allowed to trap on Yontav, and another Brisa says that you're not allowed to trap on Yontav, and we obviously have a problem. Bishlama chaya chaya lo kasha ha Rabbi Yehuda ha Rabbanan. So in terms of chaya, so we can make the following distinction. So the Brisa that says that you're not allowed to trap, that's Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's not going to be trapping until you bring it into the house. So in other words, to bring it into a corralled area, into a pen, that would be fine. The Brisa says that you're not allowed to trap, that's going like the Chachamim. So we could make such a resolution. The Gemara says, but Ella, Ella Ofas, Ofas Kasha, but in other words, the discrepancy between birds. Because in our Mishnah, there was no debate by a bird. Our Mishnah gives one definition of what bird trapping is, and that is bringing it into the Migdal. So how can one Brisa say it's okay, and one Brisa say it's not okay? So the Gemara says, maybe we're going to make a distinction between a pen that has a roof over the top, and a pen that does not have a roof over the top. And that means to say that if the pen does not have a roof over the top, that would be okay, because even though you corralled it into a pen, it's a bird, it can fly, it can just easily escape. That's not called trapping. Masha Ein Kein, the Brisa that says that you're not allowed to trap, is talking about into a roofed area. The Gemara says maybe that's the resolution. The Gemara says the problem with that is very simple. Our Mishnah says that you cannot corral a bird into a migdal. From our Mishnah, it sounds like you're allowed to corral a bird into a house. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Brisa that says that you're allowed to corral a bird, it's not talking about any bird per se, it's talking about a tzipor dror, a free bird. a tzipor dror, I don't know what kind of bird we're talking about. I'll just simply call it a free bird. That's a literal translation of what it means. But in other words, this type of bird does not become domesticated. It doesn't know from domestication. You could bring it inside your house and it won't comply. It lives in your house like it does in the field, meaning it makes itself at home and flies around. It does not accept any type of authority. So the Gemara says, and now that we're here, basically we can make the following distinction between the two brises regarding chaya. Meaning the brisa that says that I'm allowed to corral an animal into a pen, that's talking about a very large pen. And the one, the brisa that says that I'm not allowed to corral an animal, that's into a very small pen. Hechi dami bivagadol, hechi dami bivakatan. And now, simple question. Let's give definitions, meaning we're here. We need to define what is considered big, what's considered small. The Gemara is going to give no less than three different definitions. Amar Rav Ashi kol hecha derayt basrei, umati le bechad shichya. Okay, beaver katan, v'idach beaver gadol. The pen is small enough where, if me and the animal were together in the pen, in one move, right, in one chess move, I can go ahead and I can grab the animal. If, however, I got to run a little bit and I cannot get the animal in one swoop, that's not considered a trapped animal. Inami, Gemara gives a second definition, kol echad d'nafal tula d'ksalim, aha dadi beaver katan, v'idach beaver gadol. You know that the even in the middle of the day, the sun's going to cast a bit of a shadow. Sun's always going to be at somewhat of an angle. If the wall of one of the sides of the bivar, the shadow of the wall touches the other wall, that's a small contained area. Now I know it doesn't tell us whether we're talking about 9 o'clock in the morning or 11 a.m. or 1 p.m. I mean, maybe you can assume that we're talking midday, otherwise it's kind of strange. But anyway, but that's another definition. If there are nooks and crannies and there are places where the animal can run into and hide, that's biver gadol. If, however, it's a very simple pen where the animal's got nowhere to run to, no ukatsim, that's considered biver katan, and that would be considered a confined area. Okay, so in other words, basically what comes out from our Gemara, it's pretty straightforward, is that to corral the animal into a contained area, where basically now it's no longer mechuster tzeda, it's no longer missing any trapping, so that's asur on Shabbos, that's a malach on Shabbos of tzeda. If, however, I corral it into a contained area, but they're still not trapped, in other words, I can't just simply grab it, that's not considered the malacha of tzeda. So now the Gemara says that in our Mishnah, so we have what seems to be three opinions, and he says, and the halacha is like Rosh Hashanah and Gamaliel, which is, lo kol ha-bivrim shavim, not everything is the same, meaning it's all relative. Some bivrim is considered trapped, some bivrim are not, depends on whether you can get the animal or not, like we just discussed. And the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is like Rosh Hashanah and Gamaliel. So Amalei Abaye Halacha Mechlal De Pligi. Now, does that mean that Rosh Hashanah and Gamaliel is arguing with the Tanakhama? So Amalei my Nafka Lachmina. So the answer was, well, what do you care? Meaning, he is, he isn't, who cares? Meaning, if they're arguing, the halacha is like Rosh Hashanah and Gamaliel. If they're not arguing, fine. The halacha is still like Rosh Hashanah and Gamaliel, who happens to be describing and explaining what the Tanakhama is saying. So Amalei Gamor Gamor Zemurta Tehei. You're learning. This should be like a song. Meaning, really, you enjoy learning and just singing the words of the Mishnah without a real understanding of the Mishnah. It's like you're singing a song. Meaning, that's not how to learn. The way you learn is understanding. And if the Mishnah presents an opinion of Shimon Gamliel, it is noteworthy. It's important to know whether or not he's explaining the Tanakhama or he's arguing the Tanakhama. And to give an answer, flipping the answer off, well, who cares? What difference does it make? That's not how you learn. You learn through understanding. Now, he dismissed him, and he dismissed him pretty strongly. The Gemara doesn't resolve whether... I understand that, but the Gemara doesn't resolve whether or not he's arguing with the Tanakhama or explaining the Tanakhama. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, a little bit more. Hatzatzvi Suma V'yashein Chayev. Chigar V'zakim V'chol HaPater. If I trap a deer that's either blind or sleeping, they're blind or sleeping, so you're going to be Chayev. If I trap a lame deer, or an old deer, or a sick deer, you're going to be Pater. So I'm going to buy the Rav Yosef, So the Gemara says the difference is that the blind deer is not going to run away. In other words, the deer is blind, so the deer is pretty much going to stay put. So once I put it in a contained area, regardless of the size of the contained area, so you're going to be chayev, mashe, ein, kain. These other animals, the lame and the sick and the old, so they still got a little bit left in them, and if necessary, they're going to run away. The Hatanya Chola Chayav. The Gemara quotes another brisa that says that a chola you're going to be Chayav. I'm Rav Sheish Lokasha Habechola Machmas Ishta.
The blind one will sense that he feels that he will run away. Well, the sick will not.
Okay, hold it. You're probably right. Okay. That if I trap a chola, you're going to be chayev. Depends what kind of sickness they were talking about. If it's a fever, fevers. So you can still function with a fever. But if it's uftsana, right, it's total exhaustion, says Rashi. They can't move. They're really, in other words, they're sick, you know, just totally immobile. So there, it's, that's where you're going to be chayev. Tanu Rabbanan Atzad HaChagavim Gazim Tzarim V'Yitosh Mishabes Chayev Div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says trapping grasshoppers. You're going to be chayev. It depends. If we normally trap these types of animals, you're going to be chayv. If I don't normally trap these types of animals, so it's not considered the derech bekach. That's not the normal way to do things. If I trap grasshoppers during the dew season, you're going to be potter. Okay, but if I trap, Rashi explains that during the dew season, the chagavim are pretty much blind. Rashi explains, a nehem mit avaros, varehen nitzodin va'omdim. Easy pickings, grasshoppers during the dew season. Things you learn in the daf. Tanya ira hatzad chagavim b'shas hatal pater b'shas hasherev chayev. Elazar ben Ma'avai omer im ayu mekachus uvas pater. If there's a swarm of them, you're going to be pater. Ibayelu Elazar ben Ma'avai reisha kai or seifa kai. Now, what was he doing? Was he modifying the reisha or the seifa? Tashma hatzad chagavim b'shas hatal pater b'shas hasherev chayev. And then Elazar ben Ma'avai omer afilu b'shas hasherev, even if it's a hot, dry months where normally those grasshoppers give you a good run for your money, but if they're coming in swarms, so then you're going to be putter. Apparently when they come in swarms, it's also easy pickings.
Is it talking about Yom Tov or
Shabbos? Assuming Shabbos. And presumably the same thing would be true on Yom Tov. Okay, we'll stop for today. We'll pick it up tomorrow from the Mishnah. Ilui Nishmas Shakri Shlomo Ben Mashallah. And a continued refuah shlema to Binyamin Zev HaKohen Ben Shimon Rivka. Rabbi Chanan Ben Nakash Marat Zagash Barak Lazak Zolafich HaKhir Ben Tarmitzu Shanema Anay Chafetz HaMasikoy Yadil Tarav Yadir.